Who are we?
Nobodies.
Speak for yourself.
Okay. We're Canadian filmmakers with the dream of surviving financially on the backs of our films.
Welcome to our show where we bring people along on our film journey.
Maybe we can learn a thing or two.
Maybe we can teach people a thing or two while drinking beers.
I mean, if you can't drink beers while filmmaking, what's the point?
We are Fable Forest Films, failing our way to success.
Welcome to Jurassic Park. I mean, our show. First frames first.
Are we recording that sound?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are we recording video? I think so.
It's flashing red.
Totally is. Are we screen grabbing now or later?
No, only when it matters.
Okay.
I can bring this up now.
Hello, and welcome to episode 23 of First Frames First.
My name is Adrian Constant.
I'm Jason Green, your lovable hosts.
Hey, you better love us.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the first podcast of
2018. Do you know what? Time is going so fast. Tomorrow we're going to die.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be tomorrow and we're going to be the dead people.
Yes.
The billions and billions of dead people that have come before us, we will be one of them.
There's a lyric for a song that my kid loves, and I think it says something like, Death is like a dog
doorway
to a rabbit, right? In that you gotta hustle your ass to get things going.
Okay.
I gotta find the song.
I think I kind of understand what you're saying.
Anyways. Yeah, thank you. What are we gonna talk about on today's show? So we're gonna be doing a screening later on this month in our hometown for Bickerman's Grove.
Yep.
That's our second
feature film.
Correct. Now available on iTunes. We're going to, at this event, we're going to actually do a live First Frames First podcast, mm-hmm. and we're going to give people a sneak peek to the short film that we talked to you guys about before that we finished shooting.
And by sneak peek, he means we're just going to show them the short film.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a sneaky peek.
Yeah.
The official, premieres and things like that We'll try to be in some festivals and things.
Hopefully, like that. We'd like to submit the short film to a couple festivals, and hopefully festivals that we can attend.
Correct.
Festivals that accept us, and it's a good festival length because it's 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's a 5 to 6 minute film. So hopefully festivals would be interested because they can just throw it, you know, provided it's good enough and they like it, they can just put it before their feature.
Correct.
Evening feature. Blah blah blah.
Yep. So this is our ghost story, My Huntsville Muse.
Yes.
So hopefully you guys get to see it soon. And well, it's January, so fairly soon, one of the next couple podcasts, we will look back to 2017,
mm-hmm.
look at the, I think, episode number 2 or 3, I can't remember which one it was, but we set off with some goals for ourselves, some social media goals, some meetings goals for the year. How did we do?
Right? That's what we're looking at.
So we're going to take a peek. See where we failed. See where we met our goals, and think about goals for this year. So that should be fun.
Yeah. So one thing I will say, we were just setting up to do this, and as you can see, there's a lot of equipment and a lot of things. And what happened was, I bumped my beer over, and it messed onto the audio recorder. And Jason was like a ninja. Before the beer had even hit the surface of the table, he had removed his shirt. Like an action hero, and he had started drying the beer off of the device. It was amazing. I've never seen anyone move that quickly for anything in my life.
Just my overshirt. I didn't take off all my clothes.
And his pants. He ripped his underwear.
Everything was off. I was patting things down. I put the shirt back on so that I smell like booze.
Yeah.
For later when I...
Also, one of the things we're going to look at the show is that it's just a bit of an editing technique. Now, please note, I'm not a formally trained editor. I've done a puttload of editing, but no one's ever been like, this is how you should do it. This mm-hmm. is the way. And I would absolutely love to take a course. There is a course that's called Film Editor Pro, and it's just expensive for me to buy that course, but I'd be super interested to see how the pros do it in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see, you know, whether my technique is... matches up. I work hard at making sure that the best footage is, you know, is where it needs to be. And I will show you kind of how I do that, because I did a trial by error, trial and error. So when I first edited Greenhouse, I edited the first scene, and what ended up happening was I showed it to one of the actors. I showed it to Derek, and he turned around and he was like, yeah, but what about this shot? Because I remember this particular shot and it was amazing. And I was like, yeah, I don't have that shot. And it made me realize that the way that I was editing, which was kind of like, oh, this is good, I'll put this in. Then watching, oh, good, I'll put this in. Then watching some more, oh, good, I'll put this in. Is that when you're trying to match everything up, especially to match the action through the shots, you miss stuff, right? You'll be like, with all the clicking and dragging different pieces of clips all over the place, if it's not organized correctly, you miss a really great shot.
So you've kind of worked on your own, let's say, process map.
Yes.
And we could talk a little bit about it today.
Yeah.
We're going to try to do a short podcast today.
Yeah.
Fingers 40 crossed. Minutes. But I was going to tell you that I actually just picked up a book recently called In the Blink of an Eye by Walter Murch, which you can check out. But apparently, now and again, I'm searching for like the best, you know, film books, the best whatever, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And this apparently was an amazing one for editors specifically. It's all about editing.
Oh, very
and,
amazing.
And what they actually recommended was directors and producers to read this book to have a good understanding of how people edit so that you can be thinking ahead of time and whatever. Yeah. It's got some tips for producers and directors.
Cool.
So that That's awesome. During the life cycle of their shooting, you're thinking about the editor.
May I borrow that book?
Yes, you may.
So I am also busy reading A Director's Intuition. Mm-hmm. And it's basically geared towards actors with the director in mind. But yeah, I'm busy making my way through that. So at some stage, I'll talk about that. What's the last movie you watched?
Oh, man. Cars. Disney's Cars.
Oh, yeah? The first one?
Yeah, the first one.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen Cars 3 yet. And maybe this is a mistake. I don't know. Sometimes you have to stop. Like, at some point when you want to watch, let's say, you know, Star Wars, or you want to watch whatever, you go back and watch all of the previous, you know? And at some point you can't do that if there's a ton. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen Cars 3 yet. I would like to. So I went back to watch Cars. Now, the funny thing was, I actually started watching it streaming, right? So we have a streaming service hooked up to the TV, and we're sitting there watching it, and it was okay, but there was a couple blurry moments, and when I first saw the couple blurry moments, I went, oh, I bought the Cars Blu-ray a while ago. So I ran down to my office, I tried to find it successfully, and we popped in the Cars Blu-ray. Oh, man. It's so colorful.
Yeah.
Like, the Blu-ray is so crisp.
I know. You know that people who really care about movies,
they aren't
will
streaming.
Watch them on Blu-ray.
Yeah. I mean, it was so wonderful. And Cars is just such a vibrant and colorful movie.
Yeah.
And so funny. And, like, the characters are great. The Pixar. Story is amazing. Pixar is so amazing.
They are the best.
But anyways, I loved it.
That's awesome.
How about you?
I actually watched Good Will Hunting.
Oh.
I rewatched it.
How do you like them apples?
Fucking love them apples, man. It is such a good movie. And I was thinking to myself, like, why are there so many amazing... I just feel like there were so many amazing movies that came out of the 90s. And it's like the amount of money that was going into the movies for various concepts was perfect. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's like they had a lot of money in the film industry. And they were open to whatever concept you wanted. Like The Truman Show, which is another one that I watched recently.
Really?
So, and they were open to these kinds of ideas. And I don't know. I'm just afraid, like, the Good Will Huntings and The Truman Shows,
they're not going away. But they're not going away. But you know what's
they're
happening?
They're
going
to lose a lot of the money that they had. Like, you're going to have to make The Truman Show. Like, I don't know what the budget for The Truman Show is. Or was, but you're gonna have these days. You're gonna have to make it for 10 million. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Oh, I bet you it was more than 10 million.
No, I know.
Oh,
back in the 90s, but now if you wanted to make The Truman Show, I feel like your budget would be squished right down.
Yeah, Yeah, for sure. I still think lots of people are making incredible movies out there, and they're hitting Netflix, and they're hitting, but they're not getting to the theaters in the same way. Yeah. Right? You know what might be a good example of The Truman Show? Minimalism with Matt Damon. Okay, so think about, have you seen the trailer for that one?
No.
It's where everybody
gets very small.
Right?
That's so, amazing. You're right. You're absolutely
so the thing
right.
is that you could link those two movies.
You could.
So think about how much the budget was for Minimalism. It wasn't $10 million.
No, it wasn't.
So
you're right and I'm wrong. That's what you're telling me.
Well, yeah.
You're an asshole.
No, but I'm just, what I'm saying is you're right. In the age of superhero movies where everything has to be
huge or tiny,
over $100 million.
Yeah. It's got to be huge or it's got to be small. Yeah. Small, medium to small to tiny to eeny to what we do.
Right. Which is smaller than eeny?
Smaller than eeny. Yeah.
Fair enough.
All right.
Cool. So, yeah, let's get into it.
Okay.
Just before we actually did the podcast, we don't want you guys to have to sit through all the caca work that we do. We were working on some of, if you guys have been on our Twitter, our Instagram, our Facebook, you guys see the little pictures that we also create. So we're always trying to create content. So we do the podcast every couple weeks. But if you're following on our Instagram, which is Fable Forest Films, if you're following on Twitter or Facebook, which is The Fable Forest, every couple of days you're seeing like a little film fact, a little film quote, some film history, little items. Anyways, we're just working on fixing up those for future months. So like a lot of time and effort goes into that stuff too. So always creating content, always thinking about facts and doing research and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
Anyways, takes time and that's what we were working away at before we jumped into this. So
yeah. Okay. So now to once again to reiterate the background from Greenhouse is that just what had happened is I had edited a scene together and I had missed out on a really amazing shot. And the scene worked, but the actor was like, what about that shot? And so Derek was like, what about that shot? And I was like, holy, I have to add that shot in. And how did I miss it?
Now, which movie are we talking about?
Greenhouse.
Here? For the people.
I Was a Greenhouse, which is available on iTunes and Amazon. It's a drama about a vagabond minstrel who has the ability to heal people with his music. But the hook, or the crux of his situation, is that he, in fact, when he plays his guitar, he heals himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to die. He's had enough.
He's tired of being immortal.
He's tired of being alive. He's lost his family. And he wants to pop off. But he gets pulled into these situations. And this is what you see. You see him get pulled into a situation where he is forced to heal the family around him.
Yes.
So that's the story. And you should go and watch it if you would like to see our first film.
For sure.
Yeah.
So coincidentally, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast like a month ago or whatever, but a friend of mine actually bought our DVD and watched it with his wife and was so happy. You know when you make something, can you make this happen?
Yeah.
Here we go. This is my favorite thing. I need a little doodad, but anyways, you know when you create something, whether you draw a picture or whatever, you don't necessarily think it's that great, right? You're like, I see all the flaws. Even though you're happy with what you did.
You're happy that you're not doing it anymore.
Fair enough. So,
you're like, thank you that it's over.
But, you know, he watched it and he was like, this movie, I Was a Greenhouse, is amazing. And I was like, yeah, thanks, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I know that it, you know, and he was like, no, don't downplay. It was great. We loved it. And then the minute it was over, we watched your second film. So it felt amazing.
That is awesome.
To get some great feedback.
Just that there is the possibility within the thing that you create for people to have a good experience.
Yes.
Like, it's in there.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, by the way, just before we finish off the beers, today's beer is Kingfisher, premium lager.
I'm afraid it's just poison.
It's not good. It's brewed by Kingfisher Brewing Company, Sarasota Springs, New York. Amazing.
Now.
It's not bad, actually.
Cool.
It's not terrible. That's just ridiculous.
A background with the editing. So I developed this way that I systematically broke down the whole scene
mm-hmm.
on my timeline.
Okay.
So that every usable piece of information was on the timeline. And then I would go through it piece by piece and take out the best piece from that segment. Now, if any editors are listening to this, they're like, yeah, man, that's the way you do it. But I had to work. I worked it out myself.
Right.
And felt like a genius for working it out, because I believe that what you end up with, because you're not only picking, you end up with the best possible version with the material that you have.
Right.
Because you're not only trying to pick the best shot, but you're going to make sure that the best shot from this section and the best shot from the section right afterwards, that you can match the action.
Right.
So that the cut is smooth, so that the edit flows.
Now, do you ever feel terrible when you have a great a piece of the puzzle
yeah.
that you cannot make fit?
Yes, it makes you feel terrible. Like if and that's where you really have to start trying to get creative.
Right.
And that's where a cutaway can help.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you do have a cutaway of something else where you can jump inside, like if somebody's ashing a cigarette, you cut to the ash of the cigarette and then you can come back to the scene. And if the body positions are different, then that doesn't really matter.
Right.
Because what I'm talking about is like we're filming over here, say for instance, and your shot, so we're filming over here, and the shot of Jason is really amazing.
Yeah, okay? It is.
Yeah, it is. And his reaction with this particular take, with take three, is amazing. And my reaction with take five is amazing. So I'd like to cut from Jason take three to Adrian take five. But what happens is in take five, when I had my amazing reaction, Jason actually leaned down to tie his shoelace.
Right.
So when that happened, now all of a sudden they don't match. So Jason's not there, and then he pops up in frame, and that would suck the audience out of the scene.
Right.
So you really have to try and make that work. And that's where, you know, multiple angles and cutaways and things can help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll just move this.
Cool.
And we're going to jump right into here. Uh-huh. Video record. Okay. So now you are inside the screen, and I will just, just jump in here, and you can see how I've laid out my timeline. So my timeline is laid out exactly in the way that the movie flows. So these are the first few shots, and it's repetitive shots. So all of these are the slow zoom in of the house.
By the way, are you screen grabbing now?
Yeah.
Good man.
Yeah.
You're going to jump in and show people things?
Yeah.
So, okay, so before we continue, I just want to make sure you see yourself with our GoPro here.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Would you like me to move the GoPro?
Maybe just in between us and kind of...
There we go. Okay, so it's a bit...
I don't know. Still could be terrible.
Yeah. So we're going to go to... I'm going to... Just to illustrate my point, I'm going to... So the way that I also do it is I also label this using an invisible layer. I will label the outside... This is the outside where the actor is walking in, is walking into the place. Check the shot out. So that's take one. Here we go, take two. Amazing. So this is Derek Lackenbauer. He's terribly handsome. And so as you can see, I stack take one. Oh, that may be a bit too big. I stack take one and take two right here. So they're right next to each other. So that when we're sitting here doing the creative edit, we make sure that we pick the one that we love the most, because you're only thinking about this shot.
Right.
If I was looking at it out of context and I was like, yeah, this one's good, and I were to drag it in from here, and I were to drag it in from here and cut it into the
timeline.
Like, and then you see the other one later. You're like, oh, but that one's actually better. This technique is in fact called, it has a name. And I was listening to an interview with Steven Spielberg. And Steven Spielberg said, because of all the footage on the film Lincoln, they used a technique called stacking.
Okay.
And this is stacking.
Nice.
So I will just to illustrate, so this is the opening shot. The sound is terrible.
Don't worry.
Sorry, I thought this was my room.
So up to that point. So now, We do that again and again and again. And again. So, when I start building the edit, what I like to do is I don't like to mess around with these. So these, this is the whole scene.
Okay.
This is the whole scene broken up into pieces. And I don't like to mess around with these, right? I don't want to click and drag this actual shot from here. This is my foundation.
Your stack.
This is my stack. So what I'll do is once I find the best one, now, I actually, and I already know this, and I've told you this, I would actually like to start on this shot.
Oh, I am so sorry. I thought this was my room.
I'd like to start on that shot. So that's just my prerogative, but...
like, not the actual film, but just the scene.
Just the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you would do is you would say, okay, so this is my favorite. So I'd grab this, boom, control copy. I'd hop out, jump to the beginning, and this is where I'm going to build it. And I control paste. Then I head to the next one.
Beautiful day outside.
Now, you can extend it, mm-hmm. right? You can decide to, if you were to watch, if you pick it and it's the best one,
yeah,
you can pick that one. But you can also just extend the shot if you want to keep it as a single shot.
Right.
So you have that option. So,
now we've done wides, we've done some close-ups, things like that. Where do you put the close-ups of people's faces? Do you put them in the same place as the wides? Or do you put them later on, all the close-ups together?
They're all together right here. So this scene right here, all the wides and the close-ups and everything is together. Because this is the same piece of the movie.
Okay. So you may actually jump to different pieces...
Yeah.
Of that.
Yes. Within. Scene. So if, and I often do that. So what will happen is if I like this one.
Yeah.
And I like this one. So these two, I'll grab them both. I'll come over here. I'll control paste. And I'll go.
Right.
And now I'm not even sure this is a bit funky, but here. So I'll just. And now I'm just making things up as we go.
Yeah.
This is just to illustrate a point. Okay, this is a wrong part of the movie. So it would really be this part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you guys are following along.
So what are you doing in here?
Boom, ski boom.
So what are you doing?
So this would be a perfect, so, sorry guys, just bear with me.
I thought this was my room.
So he says then, beautiful day outside.
Beautiful day outside.
So what are you?
So then we want to match the action right here. So she's just about to look up. If you look at her face right here, she's just about to look up.
So what are you?
And so we would then take this until she is there. Now that would probably match, but I would probably, I'd probably cut it from here like that.
Beautiful day.
So what are you doing in here?
Something. Now we would tweak this because if you look at her eyes, they kind of go up here
mm-hmm.
and then they go up there. So we have that little lift. So I try and get that timing correct.
Perfect, yeah.
Okay, but once we do that, so what are you doing in here? We come back out. Let's have a look here.
Beautiful day.
So we've done that.
So what are you doing?
We've done that. Now we go over here. So now we're going to watch all of these clips.
I know it's a bit forward, but...
Now, you can watch all the wides. But what I mean, the truth be told, wides are really your establishing shot. And once you do the wides, you want to be in close up or the over. So, I don't want to be on her. So I'm going to watch him here. Because I've already decided
mm-hmm.
what I want. But I know where to find it.
I know it's forward, but you mind if I... I join you for a drink.
Boom. I really like that. Let me highlight that.
I know it's forward, but you mind if I join you for a drink?
That one's better.
That one is better. There's more acting.
Yeah.
There's more acting.
I know it's forward, but you mind if I join you for a drink?
I like that too. It's nice. It's different, right? You mind if I join you for a drink?
Yeah.
So this is where the decision-making
you
process
really
comes
gotta
in.
You really got to sit in and dig in.
Yeah. And this is where either could be fine. Now, these are my favorite shots. And this is going to be... This is very important. Very important. Now, the reason... A lot of people will use a shot like this and they'll be like, I don't know why it feels funny. Now, if you... We're lucky we've established the space. But this establishes the space really well with a piece, a dirty shot.
Right.
It lets you know exactly where you are.
So just explain a dirty shot
to okay. people. Okay, so a dirty shot, as you can see right here, this is the subject of the shot.
Right.
So this would be considered clean.
Okay.
Because there's nothing dirty coming into the frame. Now, a dirty frame has something in the foreground. Right? Now this is a dirty frame. With the actor opposite our subject is actually coming into the frame just a little bit. And the reason this is so effective is because it really gives you a sense of the space of the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly where you are. Right?
The thing that I've heard people talking about dirtying a shot a lot of times has to do with a doorway.
Yes.
Like they'll bring the camera outside the door frame and show a piece of the door frame
yeah.
and then the person just inside.
Because it does give you a sense of space. It right. also gives you depth in your frame, which, I mean, it just makes the frame more beautiful when you have something foreground, something in the
mm-hmm.
middle, and something in the background.
Yeah.
So, as we can listen to this, let's have a look.
I know it's forward, but do you mind if I do it for a drink?
So it's good too.
I know it's forward, but you might have to join for a drink.
That was pretty freaking cool. So we're going to have a tough time picking which one. I'm just, for the sake of the argument, I'm just going to pick this one. Now we're working on proxy files. So proxy files means that we're taking the 4K footage, we're making a smaller version of the footage, and we are watching that so that we have a smooth flow of things. But I am going to look at this shot outside of the proxy, and he looks a little soft. It looks like he's... It looks like he has the focus on the camera right now is on the box and not on his face. So that shot is out. This shot right here, if we just had to look. Sorry, guys. The bottleneck is happening at the hard drive.
Yeah.
So that's why we're using the proxies here. It's pretty good.
Now, what are a few... Do you have a couple additional tips and tricks or lessons that you want to talk about? As far as timelining or
yeah,
how
so,
you kind of put things together?
So the way that I put things together is that I will create... The first thing I create is a raw space. And I like to keep everything in my timeline. So this is everything broken down. All the sound is synced, but all the files are just a single file.
Okay.
So here is just the whole take. It hasn't been broken up. But we divided it into our script section. So we have the outside section here, which is all the shots of the house. We have the walking in section.
Right.
You know, and then we have the actual scene, which runs right here, the main scene.
Right.
And this is the running out.
The outro.
Yeah. So the final scene. The final section of the film. From there, we move... I like to move it to a new timeline called I call the workbench. Because this is where I'm going to be doing the majority of my work. And this is where I'll break the scene up into all of these segments. Now, what is amazing about this that I love
mm-hmm.
is that when I've done the edit and you come and sit down and you're like, I don't like that thing.
Right. I don't like the way he looked there.
I can come right to the section, to this section right here.
And he'd be like, well, here's the choices that you've got.
Here are the options for this line. Mm-hmm. Now, and you can get creative. Like, you can step outside of the box. You can cut away to something else if you want to. You can stay on her face.
We've done things in the past like we jump to something completely different and just use the audio from what he's saying. Right?
Yeah.
Like use his line, but we're looking at something completely different.
Yes.
And we've done that
Yes.
Boatloads of times. Yeah.
Because sometimes you got to get, because sometimes if you, you know, you got to get a bit creative. So I'm gonna take
his face there.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at that face. Look at that beautiful James. You beautiful man.
James McDougal.
James McDougal. McDougalstein. So then we just hop in right here and we just throw this in here. Now, we know that we went from.
So what are you doing in here?
I know it's forward, but you mind if I join you for a drink?
Do you know what? So if I were to make this work,
mm-hmm.
I would go closer to his reaction.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe even closer.
Yeah, and maybe, do you know what? Because the timing is good, so we can just slide this cut over here. Yeah.
Cool.
But...
Yeah. So you've got
so a, we could bring
a,
her
you've
in.
Got a working, you've got a working timeline.
Cool. So, but what we what you might want to do
yeah.
is you might want to go back to the wide. You might want to do that. Like this is just not. This is I'm just thinking mm-hmm. out loud because we have the wide right here. Wow. No. Now I wouldn't mind cutting to the wide.
Back to the wide.
Back to the yeah. wide, and we will get it, and we will get into it. But yes, so now what I will do is I will cut this whole scene,
right.
Boom 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 boom, right here, and it will have. I mean, you can, you know, depend if you want to keep a track for the wide, a track for her close up, and a track for a video track for his close ups. If you would like to, and this is, I do suggest this, but I keep the dialogue at the top, and I'll keep, like, the number lead character, their dialogue will always be in the first track.
Mm-hmm.
The next character, they will always be, so that you, each person has their own track for dialogue. Okay. Then after that, you have the Foley tracks, so, like...
So, listen, much like describing who is your favorite child, are we going to tell the audience who... the lead actor is and who the second character is?
No.
We're not gonna.
so but what we would do here, and we have multiple, we have a boom running over here, so the boom would be the boom track, James's lab would be in James's section or James's section.
Or
and James. Alana would be in Alana's section or Alana's section. See what I did there?
Who knows which section is whose section.
So but then what you have is you have your Foley and then you would have your music tracks underneath that. And that I think you would send that off to the mixer. Who would then mix it and do everything wonderful. But from here, I then move it to, like once this is all done,
yeah.
I then move this to its own dedicated timeline. So I'll control copy that. I'll double click on my final timeline and I will paste it in there. And this is what I will use to export things. I will use this to create XML so that I can color it in DaVinci. I will export the OMF files for audio so that the audio guys can get their hands on it.
So what's the difference? Oh, I see. So the first is the raw.
Yeah.
The second first is where you've stacked everything.
Where I've stacked everything and I've got everything into the right place.
And the third timeline is the actual timeline for the movie.
It's the final product. So, and that's how I've done both movies. Both movies were done that way. And I will actually break it into scenes. So each scene will have three, each scene that I have. So scene one will have workbench, raw, final. Then I will have like a final master for the full film and I will drag each scene in. And if there's a problem with a scene, then I will go in, I will go to the workbench, I will go through the shots because I know where to find them and I will drag it in and I'll make it happen.
Interesting.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is that you just know that you are going through all the footage
mm-hmm.
and that you are taking the best take. Like with James's reaction there, we can see all of his takes right next to each other. So we know that the one we pick is either going to be the best one or it's going to be the one that works the best, like because we have to use it, but it's the best option for the film.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not hopping all over the place.
Right.
All right. Awesome. But that's about it. That's how I edit. And like I said, I don't know if how right or wrong that is. All I know is that it has treated me well.
Right.
This system of editing has it, like when somebody says, "Can you change this?" It's very easy to change.
Right.
And I feel like systematically, it's one of the best versions of the film you can have.
I think it would be a lot of fun to find an editor on some big project, right? Because I imagine that in a large film landscape,
mm-hmm.
right? Like in a major blockbuster,
mm-hmm.
they must have crazy processes for how to,
yeah.
especially if you're working for like a huge company or whatever. They're probably like, this is exactly how you, right? Maybe there's a big difference between indie creative and
studio production.
I mean, it may be like, there may be no opportunity for you to get the best take because they do it exactly a certain way, or who knows.
No, do you know what? I bet you junior editors do exactly this thing.
Yeah.
And then, the guys, the editor editors will come in and they will have a look, because they have to look through all the footage. So I'm sure the junior editors cut it in such a way that only the necessary footage is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And why wouldn't you stack it? Why wouldn't you put all the takes after each other?
Ridiculous.
It kind of makes sense to me. So I think...
I was actually reading something about Clint Eastwood the other day. And he was saying that people have this weird misconception that all directors like push to do a million takes and whatever. And he was like, not all of us. He was like, I try to get the exact thing that I want on the first take. And what he said, though, was... try to get exactly what you want on the first take. If you get it, then let the actors have a, I can't remember what they called it, like a free take or something.
Yeah,
he was like,
just
do whatever you want to do, because sometimes that's where the magic happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah, he was like, no, I'm trying to move, right? I'm trying to just get exactly what I need to get.
Yeah.
And if I see that I've got it, perfect. We're going to play and do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that's... I'm sure obviously there's differences in director styles, and some are very like, I want this exact eye look, or this exact, I want your head to be at this exact height so that it can match, you know, this person's whatever. Thematically, we need to do a triangle or whatever.
Yeah. But the thing is also, what does happen is like the actors, and famously, this was Stanley Kubrick used to do this with his actors.
Yeah.
He used to push them, because he would push them into a space. Like Jack Nicholson with The Shining, when he's right. walking with the axe
right.
and he's furious, it's because he's had to do that take so many times that he is literally losing his cool. I do
remember hearing 87 takes or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's literally losing his cool at Stanley Kubrick. And so, I mean, it's a mean way to do things. You know?
Yeah, it's almost like there's potentially like you don't an authenticity trust the actor to act.
To act.
You're pushing them into a place.
But where they might exceed their own expectations. Like you're kind of, so I agree with Clint in that if you get it, you got it.
Right.
If you get what you want, but at the same time, you gotta get what you want.
Gotta get what you want, and
if that takes,
it's just media card space at this point. It's not like you're.
Who cares?
It's not like you're. We're film these days where you're just hemorrhaging money every minute for film stock that you have, right?
The thing is, but that you're still hemorrhaging money, because on the big sets you're still hemorrhaging money, because every hour.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but like depending on the size of the production and what people are getting paid, but it's thousands of dollars per hour overtime.
Yeah.
When things go like the. You know, the producer's sitting there counting the minutes, because that's the amount of money that is leaving the budget.
Just imagine it.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Who knows?
What a great problem to have. Hey?
When we're like, ah!
Hurry up. Quick, shoot the movie, because we have to pay the whole crew overtime.
Yeah.
Fuck, exciting. Eh?
So let's wrap this one up for today. Yeah. We wanted to give a quick showcase of Adrian's editing style. Maybe someday... Oh, hello. Maybe someday we actually show some VFX or, you know, whatever else we get into, and maybe some audio stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
In the editing phase.
And we've just worked this stuff out for ourselves. There are courses out there and I'd love to take them, but I haven't.
Yeah.
And
there are people out there. In fact, there are pros. One of our next couple episodes, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking to a pretty cool VFX guy who's worked in major Hollywood pictures for quite a long time. So
yep.
We're going to get a chance to talk to him because he's giving us a little bit of insight into some of the things we need for our Winter Wonderland movie, mm-hmm. Our monster picture. So it should be pretty cool to hear from him, what he has to say. Maybe we cry a little bit when we learn how much things cost. That's totally fine. And, you know, we'll see. But yeah, that should be a great podcast for you guys to listen to, because you're going to get some insight into the visual effects world of Hollywood and some big studio stuff. So
yeah, and we're not going to talk about, like, we tend to talk about ourselves a lot. We're very selfish. True. But we're going to find out about his world and how his world functions, and it's going to be more of an interview about how VFX works and how, if you were an indie film trying to integrate VFX into your film, how you would go about doing that if you wanted to get the professionals.
Correct. Learning experience.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And so that's the great thing, is now and again we find somebody and bring them on the show, and hopefully you guys learn and enjoy. We know we're going to learn and enjoy, so
yeah,
that's it.
All right. Adios, muchachos.
All right. Dream big.
Work hard. Thanks for listening to the Fable Forest Films podcast.
First frames first.
Yes, first frames first. Thank you, Jason.
Welcome.
If you enjoyed, head over to our website, www.thefableforest.com. Check out our films and sign up for our newsletter, where we will send you exclusive content.
Hit us up on our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, always at The Fable Forest. And share our show with your friends. It'll really help us out a lot.
Dream big.
Work hard.